It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Brian Ernest with CoBank. We'll talk proteins in a moment. First off, Donald Trump in Wisconsin talking to farmers.
Going on. Remember what I said, Ken, when this conflict ends, you're going to see things that you've never seen before because we are ready to rock. We've never had this kind of investment coming into our country. Nobody else has either. Nobody has ever had anywhere near, not even near, including China. Nobody's had this kind of investment coming in to a country. So increasing 41% to Japan, you've increased your sales. 41% to Japan, 48% to the Middle East, 61% to European Union, 63% to South Asia, and 85% to Australia. So you're doing pretty well. You're going to see it, and you're going to see it a lot better in about 3 months from now.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the lead economist for animal protein at CoBank. It's Brian Ernest. Brian, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, a little background about you and your pathway to CoBank. Did it start in ag?
So I started my career, worked for a retail cooperative for a number of years in their grocery department or the meat department. So a lot of my background kind of stems from positioning meat in front of the consumer.
Well, and I'm glad you went there because I want to dig a little deeper on that side. You know, I think we take a lot of looks at this from a producer perspective, but not always getting it to what it means for that consumer. We're in the official summer grilling season. For some of us, that's year round, but I guess for the calendar, we're there now. What are you looking forward to as we're into the season now from a consumer's perspective?
Yeah, it's certainly that time of the year where folks, don't have to dust the snow off the grill out anymore to get it fired up. And, we're into that season where, folks are trying to figure out what they're going to put on the grill this year. And, I think the last couple of years we've been thinking about the grilling season as, how does affordability play into the decision that the consumer is making at the counter? And overwhelmingly, they've been voting still to put beef, on the plate. And we saw that if you look at the numbers for 2025, USDA is showing per capita beef consumption continued to grow, despite some record high prices. And where we're at this year, consumers taking on a little bit more inflation, thinking about higher gas prices. How does that relate to what they're putting on the grill? There may be some consideration there. I think, here it's maybe too soon to see if that dollar is kind of shifting and swaying what they're doing. But, overall, I think the focus on, the quality aspect of beef in the U.S. has really attracted that consumer in recent years. And, there's definitely some holding power there with what we're seeing for consumer behavior.
And now I also you can't seem to avoid the headline of expensive beef. Beef is too expensive. It costs too much. This and that. However, do you look at it in a comparison with other food items? I mean, if you're having burgers, then you're probably going to have some chips as well. Last time I checked, chips and soda have all gone up pretty high as well. Is it all relative at this point?
Yeah, I do think there's, some food inflation that the consumer's taking on, and thinking about where they're putting those dollars in the basket, is noteworthy, right? And the retailers, if we're thinking about what's going on the grill, typically we're thinking about retail more than we are food service. With that aspect of it, I kind of think of now beef is different than it was 10, 15 years ago. The quality, that the producer in the U.S. today is bringing to the consumer for kind of our steak cut items. You're seeing a lot more choice in prime grade product that's making its way to the retail and the grocery store. And the consumer has noticed this, and they're continuing to come back, with that aspect really kind of in mind. And when I put that together with how the consumer is, you know, maybe taking on some more inflation and, you know, thinking about where they're spending their dollars, overall food spending as a percentage of total consumer goods, relatively low, in the meat side of it, while prices have been rising, you know, still a small portion of their overall basket. So in that aspect, I think, you know, there's probably room there that you know, the consumer, there's still some holding power, at least kind of this early portion of the summer. So I look at some of the data that's going on there, you know, retail sales data, and it has kept up surprisingly strong despite some of those inflationary pressures. And that's really the consumer, I think, kind of telling us that protein is having a moment with them, and it's got holding power. So this, you know, optimism, despite where otherwise we'd be a little bit concerned with what's going on there.
We're talking with Brian Ernest of CoBank on the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, or strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today, Brian Ernest with CoBank. We're talking protein right now, and Brian, has the industry changed? Have things changed here with the onset of beef on dairy?
Yeah, I think some of maybe the more seasoned cattle analysts will tell you that the change in animals available in the system, from a quantity standpoint, probably not all that much different today than what they were 10 years ago when you look at the contributions from the dairy supply stream. But I'd argue that, you know, the utilization of beef, traditional beef genetics in the dairy system has positioned dairy as somewhat of a different source of, you know, raw material, for lack of a better word, for beef production in general. And this is a relatively new phenomenon in my mind, you know, thinking about maybe the last 5 years, there's been a pretty dramatic change in the utilization of beef genetics in reproduction in the dairy side of the business. So that, I think, you know, providing a meaningful change in terms of what's available to the consumer through dairy production. And here, I think this is, again, something that has holding power when we look over the next decade or so. Definitely something to consider when we think about the availability of beef, the overall size of the dairy industry, the amount of available animals there, probably not going to change that much over the next 10 years. But certainly the utilization of technology there is something that probably has a big impact of what's going to be available to the beef supply stream maybe 5 years from now than what it was 15 years ago. You know, so this certainly an important aspect. And I trace it back to really the work that's been done in the traditional beef cattle supply side, where, you know, 20 years ago or 25 years ago, the traditional beef cattle, you know, rancher was making decisions about kind of long-term planning of what beef should look like in the U.S. in terms of production. And that's shown up in a dramatic shift in the genetic makeup of the U.S. cattle supply today versus what it was 25, 30 years ago, to the betterment of what the product is that the consumer is seeing today. And they're paying for it. They're recognizing it, and they're voting with the dollars today. That really, you know, plays into the whole theme of what's going on, what we're seeing at the shelf at retail for beef.
We're talking with Brian Ernest of CoBank on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today is Brian Ernest with CoBank. We're talking proteins. Been talking about beef here, but Brian, I'm just wondering, we get a lot of buy-in on the beef side, especially during the grilling season. What about the competing proteins?
Yeah, it's interesting thinking about what's going on the grill. You know, certainly chicken has hit the value aspect and kind of, you know, it's a protein offering that can pretty easily adapt different flavor profiles and that sort of thing. So chicken kind of finds its way to the plate as a value offering, but also something that's, you know, regarded for a high protein, a clean protein in general. So this is one that I think has holding power there. There's also the convenience aspect of what's going on with chicken. So not only kind of for the long-term nutritional aspect that it's afforded the consumer, but also that convenience factor. Pork kind of plays in the middle for me, you know, thinking about where it fits on the plate in terms of the mind of the consumer. And for years, you know, you think about the other white meat campaign that pork was working with. They were going after the nutritional aspects that the consumer is looking for. Now they've kind of changed that aspect. A year ago, we saw, you know, a new pork marketing campaign come out, thinking about different flavor offerings and also some, you know, premiumization of that could come out of pork. And we're about a year into that marketing campaign, and I'm still kind of trying to pick up where pork is going to fit in the long term. There's certainly some opportunity, I think, in my mind to work after the premium aspect of what we're seeing on the beef side, and still offer, you know, an affordable option as well. So I think pork really does kind of fit in the middle. It may be setting itself up for a fantastic year this year on the grill. You know, as we work through the grilling season and people start to recognize that, hey, pork looks maybe a little bit different than it did in the past and what's available. If there's new cuts or kind of a new, you know, genetic breed that we're looking for a pork chop or that sort of thing that works better for the consumer, I do think there's optimism there in terms of what's available kind of across the protein spectrum this year.
Okay, finally here, and I've driven the bus the whole way. Here's the keys. Final thoughts here, especially as we look at, you know, the production side of for livestock and the meat production side. Any factors influencing that? Final thoughts here?
Well, I think, you know, if we think from a high level, disease has kind of worked its way into the narrative with, you know, New World screwworm really has been limiting the availability of cattle imports from Mexico over the last year. I think that remains a factor at the current time frame. If, you know, if there is availability there, maybe it opens up some more beef production in the back half of 2026. But overall, you know, the fundamentals are kind of driving what's going on in the market right now. Pork, you know, April, I think, set a new record high for all April for pork production. We're sitting there with chicken as well. And as I mentioned earlier, we saw record high, or not record high, but historically high per capita beef consumption last year. Part of this was imports, but, you know, also the heavier live weights that we were seeing on animals overall. So, you know, right now that favorable feeding environment, while it's not necessarily working out very well for row crop farmers, animal protein producers really are thriving in this sort of environment where demand is kind of pulling the cart. And, you know, the availability of those lower feed costs really kind of eases us through this situation of navigating higher inflationary pressures that the consumer's seeing at the shelf. So totally optimistic for what's to come here. I'm excited for grilling season. So, you know, I'm glad it's here.
All right, Brian, how do we find CoBank if we want to learn more about what you do and the work you do? Where do we find you?
Well, again, I'm a lead economist on the animal protein side in the Knowledge Exchange division. Our website, CoBank.com, you can go right to Knowledge Exchange and find all the work that we're doing there.
All right. Again, Brian Ernest is lead economist, animal protein at CoBank. and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
And I repeal the Biden-era EPA ludicrous, just the crazy waters of the United States. It sounds so nice. It's the worst rule that you've ever had. Waters of the, how could it be nicer? What a beautiful title. It was like taking your land away from you. It was horrible. And I totally repealed it. And there are some people, you know, when I did that repeal, I had a lot of farmers and contractors, builders, house builders, in my office. They actually had their life taken away. They couldn't touch their land. If they even touched it, they were in violation. They also would go to jail. That was the crazy environmental nonsense that we're all putting up with, which has largely ended. Perhaps most importantly, with our historic trade deals, I've dramatically expanded exports of American meat, poultry, soybeans, biofuels, and, of course, Wisconsin dairy, the best.
It's the Agribusiness Report.